Good afternoon. This is John Milton reporting for Hamilton Independent Media Center, and I'm here at City Hall talking with Councillor Brian McCaddy about the Hamilton Airport proposal. Councillor McCaddy, thank you for your time today. I was wondering if you could give us an overview of your understanding of this new airport implementation task force. What's that all about in your understanding? What's going on there?
Well, it's my understanding that it's an attempt to focus efforts around the airport business park lands. The vision some members of the city council have is that we need shovel-ready, and in quote shovel-ready lands, to attract new industry to Hamilton, and that can occur in only a few places, one of which is the airport, and that the future of Hamilton from a business industrial job perspective is in building new industries around the airport so they can ship out of the airport. So I think it's essentially an effort to try and fast-track that effort. The lands up there are not serviced at the moment in terms of sewers and water, so there's a substantial amount of money that's going to have to be spent, found somewhere. They're going to have to find that money somewhere and spend it to get those lands serviced before a business park can be set up. So my understanding, this is an attempt to fast-track that.
And, indeed, a substantial amount of money. Excuse me. We've seen numbers in the Spectator of up to $100 million to service that land. Does that seem like a reasonable number to you? Or?
Yeah, that's a number I've heard for some time now.
And where are we going to find that kind of money?
Well, this is the concern, because even if we could find money resembling that, there's lots of other priorities in Hamilton as well. And the concern I have is that we need to set all those priorities beside each other, a list of 10 or whatever they might be, and to determine what the best investment is for the city of Hamilton, for the people of Hamilton. As it stands now, council's made a fairly autonomous decision with very little public consultation, a decision that really may need, as I understand it, an urban boundary expansion. So we need to go to the province and say, we like your green belt stuff, we like your places to grow stuff, but by the way, we'd like to be special and request an urban boundary expansion beyond what anybody else is asking for in Ontario. So there's a lot of problems with moving in this sort of direction, not the least of which is focusing staff resources, time, with something that takes time away from other priorities, which I would suggest are the downtown, brownfields, other things that Hamiltonians are interested in.
So when you talk about a list of 10 or so other priorities, those three that you just gave us, are those some of the items that are on that list of 10?
Well, they certainly would be for me.
On that a little bit?
I think that, as we look at ways Hamilton's going to grow, it ideally we'd like to focus on intensification in the lower city, the downtown, and that sort of thing. We want to get away from the urban boundary expansion approach, urban sprawl approach we've taken for the last 30 years, and most recently, continuing this morning in Planning Committee, Tuesday morning. So we want to get away from that. In order to do that, we're going to have to make land available in the lower city. So there's brownfields down there. There's downtown lands which need to be assembled in a certain way so they're attractive for redevelopment. So that's a focus certainly for someone like me that wants to plan in a sustainable fashion.
And what's your sense of the other members of council? I mean, do you have allies there or for this kind of approach? Or?
Well, to be honest with you, just focusing on the airport issue in particular, mm-hmm. I think the it would be fair to say the majority of councillors are in favor of moving the airport project ahead as quickly as possible. So I think I'm definitely in the minority in that context. It's an area that I'm used to being in, so that's not a problem. But it's to me, if nothing else, we need to do a cost-benefit analysis, and including in that a risk analysis. If we're going to spend $100 million, whether it's all our money, whether it's partly province feds, and us, Hamilton taxpayers' money, we need to know that it's a good investment, and we simply don't have that information. We're advancing on the basis of a boosterism kind of approach, where we know that Pickering is a possibility for an airport. We know that Kitchener-Waterloo is investing money in their airport, London is, and Hamilton doesn't want to be left behind in that sense. So there's a lot of that sort of rah-rah Hamilton aspect to this as well. So it's catching a momentum that's not dissimilar to the Red Hill Expressway. where discussions will not be based on any kind of rational discussion or factual information. It'll be something that takes on a life of its own.
Right, because in fact, traffic at the Hamilton Airport, as I understand it, has been decreasing about 3 or 4% a year for the past several years, and that's before we even consider the impact of Jetsco. And Pickering now has been under discussion for, 25 years? And hasn't gone ahead, I guess, because the numbers haven't made sense, and also because of a fairly vigorous citizens' opposition to that development. So, has there been any sort of indication of where the need is perceived to come from for this? Like, who's just itching to buy land out there? What kind of industry are they envisioning, or who's going to work there?
There's been nothing substantive, you know, that you can actually have a report that says there's potential for 50 industries and so many jobs, at least nothing that's been through any of our committees here. There may be information out there through Tradeport International and Runcie Airport and that sort of thing. But there's been nothing, no study done that's really solid information. I think it is fair to say certainly that the passenger service up there has been declining since the height of the WestJet days a couple of years ago. I don't know if that's necessarily the case for the freight side of things. The courier business up there is pretty healthy, as I understand it, and there's probably it's one of the more one of the larger airports from a freight perspective of its size. You know, not compared to Toronto, but of its size in Canada. So, I think there's probably some potential there, but we haven't seen the detailed information as to how many jobs of what type as well, because you know we've got a big issue here in Hamilton of quantities of jobs, but if they're all minimum wage or pretty poor, they're not living wages, that's problematic for us. So we don't know anything about the quality of the jobs that may result from development up there.
Right, because some of the people are talking in the paper about 25,000 jobs. I mean, presumably they're not imagining that coming out of courier operations.
No, I think they would be thinking of all kinds of industries that would set up shop up there on these airport business park lands and would employ people.
Okay. I'd like to talk a little bit about the idea of peak oil, if I could. That's a concept I gather that you're familiar with. And I mean, some people have been speculating that if we're within a few years of oil peak, that's going to drive the price of aviation fuel through the roof. And really undermine the viability of this kind of development, whether it was on the passenger or on the freight side of things. What would your thinking be on that suggestion?
You know, to me, I mean, I've heard all those discussions and you know, watched the movie End of Suburbia, for example, on this sort of thing. I think it is a reality that you know the peak oil is. Already happened or is upon us or may happen even in the next 10 or 20 years. So to me, the issue there becomes risk in terms of an investment. If you're going to make an investment in a large infrastructure investment, do you make it tied to a technology that's extremely dependent upon fossil fuels and the price of oil, and not to mention all the security issues around airports and air travel that we've seen the last couple of years. Terrorism and that sort of thing. So, to me, that just cries out for this cost benefit analysis or risk analysis that needs to be done. You know, if we're going to spend $100 million, you know, how risky is that investment? And it has to be a long, forward thinking analysis as well. You know, maybe things are okay now, but what about 2020? What about 2050? 2060? I mean, this kind of investment, $100 million, should last. At least another 40, 50, 60 years. So from a sustainability perspective, hearkening back to that often forgotten Vision 2020 process that we should have here in Hamilton, sustainability analysis, that mandates a look at the threats, at the risk that peak oil may pose.
And I mean, when you're discussing things with your colleagues in council, do these kind of issues come up? I mean, what's your sense of if you have one about where other members of council are at on on peak oil, because I mean it seems to me that it's at the local and regional level that we may be able to really do some things. And so I mean the importance of municipal governments in that, it seems to me, is key. Do you have any sense of where your colleagues in council are at on these ideas?
I don't think they're anywhere on it. It's this kind of fanciful thing that I keep jumping up and down talking about, and Councillor Braden's done so as well. I think it's perhaps the same area as climate change. It's something that they don't really have a sense of, and it's not perhaps real enough for them, or it hasn't hit the main, you know, the front page of the newspaper enough for them to really think it's a real issue. I don't think it's anywhere in their consciousness other than being aware of it now that we've been talking about it. I've been talking about it since I've been here in the last 2 years, when we've had presentations on the airport. And I've talked about climate change in the same way, that's also a threat, could be perceived as a threat to this sort of investment. Whereas if you invested in quality of life type approaches to development, downtown Hamilton, brownfields, intensification, new parks in those areas to make them more livable, creative city approach, so investment in the arts and other ways of finding jobs in Hamilton. I think these are all choices that we've got to make as a city, and the fear I have here is that this is becoming, as I mentioned earlier, just a Red Hill Expressway type of approach where it's not about the facts. Don't confuse me with the facts. This is something we're going to do, come hell or high water.
Right. We've talked about a couple of times about investing $100 million, and I suppose what that really means, as it did with the Red Hill, would mean borrowing that money, at least initially, since the city's essentially running on credit for most of its capital work now. Now my understanding is that when the last of the bills for the Red Hill project are in, the city debt's going to be running around $400 million, the long-term debt, and we're now talking about putting another $100 million on top of that in the short term. How much room do you think Hamilton has in terms of taking on these kind of obligations before the bond rating agencies just say enough?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a fact that we've got very little room, because during the budget discussions finished just a month ago, we had discussions about, you know, how much, what is our ability to borrow additional monies to do business parks, to invest in existing roads. The answer back from Joe Ronaldo, our treasurer, is that we simply can't borrow any more money. It is going to affect our bond rating, we just don't have the room to do so. So I think we're at that point now. I have no idea where this money's going to come from, other than it's reallocated from other priorities within the city, and I don't know what those are. We've cut a lot of things already, so it's pretty tight. We're already spending far less money than we need to on maintaining existing roads. And we could quite conceivably get money from other levels of government. That's certainly a possibility. So it may not be $100 million of City of Hamilton money we're looking at, but nonetheless, I don't see where that money is going to come from.
Interesting question. And maybe just to try to wrap up here, some people have been discussing the idea that what's really going on here is an idea not so much to put in industrial expansion, but to put in residential expansion. That what this is all about is getting land serviced with utilities and the urban boundary expanded, and then a token effort will be made to attract some industry that won't pan out, and then the whole thing will just be given over to more subdivisions. This seems to be a line that groups like Catch are pushing, and does this seem plausible to you, or?
I don't think so on the surface anyways. I mean, anything's possible in Hamilton. But I don't think so on the surface. I think this is definitely a focus to try and get more jobs in Hamilton, more industry and that sort of thing. The airport, the only way it can function is if it's got the noise areas that it can fly over and create noise. and have those runway areas and stuff protected. And they can't do that if residential is up in that area. They can do it if industry is in the area, and the industry has no problem with the noise. So I know that the city planning department has mapped out the noise corridors that we need to protect. Protect meaning that there can't be any residential in those areas, otherwise the planes can't fly over there. So I think at least initially, I think it's fair to say that the city is going ahead on this on the basis of trying to create this industrial business park. Anything's possible in the future, but I don't think that there's any residential being planned at this point.
Is there anything else you wanted to add that I haven't covered?
No, I think that's pretty much it. It's unfortunate when this kind of thing takes on a life of its own and leaves the Sustainability Vision 2020 ideas behind, leaves the community behind to a great extent as well. There's been very little consultation on this. So I'm hoping that we still have time to have that consultation, to talk about cost-benefit analysis, risk analysis, before we get much deeper into this.
Councilor McCaddy, thank you for your time.
Thank you.